Since it's Friday, that means it's time for Hidden Kitchens. The Kitchen Sisters, Davia Nelson and Nikki Silva, are traveling the country looking for street corner cooks and vanishing food traditions. Today, a kitchen hidden by time. We travel to Texas for the saga of the Chili Queens of San Antonio.
I'm Isabel Sanchez. I was born in San Antonio, Texas. My grandmother's name was Teresa Cantu Rocha. She was a chili queen. She was around at that time. What I would hear from my mother, they had tables. They were outside, around the mercado, around the cathedral. And she lived downtown. So it was very convenient for her to set up someplace around there.
I was a little boy in the 1930s, just before the Chili Queens were banished. I'm Felix D. Almaraz, Jr. I'm professor of history at the University of Texas at San Antonio. Saturday, my family would bring my brother and me to the marketplace. The women would bring their pots and their containers, and they would set up shop. They decorated their little booths. They would put ribbons on them or paper mache and oil cloths, red and white. And they had their little lanterns or their farolitos. For a dime, you could get chili con carne, tamales, beans, coffee. They were entrepreneurs. They were business ladies, and they made enough money to take care of the family.
An artist from the newspaper sketched a chili queen in 1894. She's wearing a rebozo and smoking a cigarette. I'm Tom Shelton. I'm the photo archivist at the Institute of Texan Cultures Library, San Antonio. This is the description. The ever-attentive, always jolly chili queen. They are good fellows, these chili queens, and are able and willing to talk on any subject from love to law. They are bright, bewitching creatures and put themselves to much trouble to please their too often rowdy customers. Every class of people who come to this city visit the places and partake of the piquant edibles.
The Chili Queens were romanticized in the press as being these exotic Spanish women, the sable hair and the fiery tempers. I'm Jeff Pilcher. I've written a book about food and the making of Mexican identity. Visitors who were just starting to take the railroad down to San Antonio in the 1880s that would talk about all they remember was the Alamo and the Chili Queens. And of course, the Chili Queens were their first introduction to that spicy, dangerous Mexican food.
Various savory compounds swimming in fiery pepper, which biteth like a serpent. This is a compound of chopped meat and pulverized red pepper stewed until the meat has been thoroughly saturated with the pepper.
They would set up their tables, you know, every afternoon and knock them down late at night. My name is Annie Madrid Salas. The ladies would be with their homemade braseros and comals. I don't know who named them the Chili Queens. Probably some gringo.
In 1893, for example, the Chili Queens became widely known because they had a chili booth at the Chicago World's Fair, the Columbian Exposition. But the city fathers had just banned the Chili Queens from setting up their stands in Alamo Plaza. And so you could get a bowl of chili in Chicago, but you couldn't get a bowl of chili outside the Alamo.
Alamo Plaza was more for Caucasians and business people, politicians. Every parade in town had to pass in front of the Alamo. The Chili Queens were considered an eyesore because their little setups were not high tone.
My name is Graciela Sanchez. Plaza del Zacate was the place where the Mexicano community in San Antonio used to come, and it was a farmer's market. And then as it got to dark, the Chili Queens had their little table set up. Musicians like Lidia Mendoza and her family would be the walking troubadours.
The Chili Queens went back and forth, moving from plaza to plaza. The struggle continued all the way up until the 1930s. That's when it was changed from being sort of a public nuisance to being a health hazard.
Health department eventually lowered the boom on them, you know. First they made them start screened and covering up, and then, like, eventually they went into small restaurants. I believe it was like around 1937 when they finally shut them down.
This is a picture of Juanita and Esperanza Garcia, shown making tortillas. City Health Department ordered removal of chili queens and their stands, brought an end to a 200-year-old tradition.
This is a picture of a woman in World War II. She's holding a chili pot, and the caption reads, "Chili con Hitler, into the scrap metal piles which San Antonians are gathering to defeat the Axis. Saturday went a 125-year-old chili pot contributed by Ms. Luz Trevino."
To this day, the street vendors who sell their tacos and other dishes are really carrying on an old Hispanic tradition. The problem arises in the United States because we have different ideas about urban life. You know, streets should be a place that are efficient, where people go places and not loiter around eating and drinking and making merry. It was revived briefly in the 1980s, where they tried to recreate these chili vendors. And of course, it became part of the Riverwalk. Well, there's always that tension between the way that corporate America wants to establish their food traditions and the way these immigrants from other lands want to carry on their own traditions.
When they were here, we didn't protect them. We didn't know that there would be bureaucrats who would come at them and try to get them either to reform or to change or to move out. And it seems that they moved them out. I miss it. The chili queens, the music, the aromas. The plaza was where you met your friends and you exchanged news. That was life. It was just a coming together.
Hidden Kitchens is produced by Nikki Silva and Davia Nelson. Recipes and photographs of the chili queens are at npr.org.